Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, hey, welcome to You Takeover Sunday. We are truly excited that you guys came here to join us and celebrate with these students and what God is doing in their lives. How many of you guys have siblings? Figured. How many of you guys used to play games on your siblings or try to irritate your siblings to a point where they wanted to punch you? But you were faster than them, so you could run away. I remember, yeah, we got students all over. I don't know if I'm supposed to raise my hand. My mom and dad are right over there, Kevin. When I was growing up, I had brothers and sisters that I loved to irritate. In fact, to this day, I still love to irritate people. It's my way of showing you that I care about you and I like you. But I used to do this thing with my siblings that consisted of my brothers or sisters saying something like a phrase like, "Hey, I need you to clean up the hallway." And my rebuttal was, "Hey, I need you to clean up the hallway." Adam's like, "No, that's what I just said. No, that's what I just said." And it's a mirroring thing. It goes back and forth, and eventually you see Adam's fist just clenching up, and he's like, "Kevin, you don't understand. Kevin, your name is Kevin. My name is Adam. You're getting this all wrong." And so all of a sudden, it just totally explodes. But it's a game of imitation, a game of mirroring. And man, it can get on the nerves of some people, and it's a beautiful thing. God bless imitation. Sometimes, though, in fact, most of the time, when you guys think about imitation, maybe that's the first thing that comes to your mind, where it's where there's some negative connotations. I don't know. I don't like imitating. And you get all on the edge about it. But sometimes there's some good things about imitation as well. So what I'm going to do this morning, I need some help just to illustrate this a little bit. Callie, you're in here, right? Callie, I need you to come on stage. Danny, I need you to come on stage as well really quick. Can we give a hand for these two? Come on. Callie, don't be shy. We got Blue Mike. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
How are you? Sorry. How are you?
Fine.
Can you tell everybody your full name, please?
Dan Ladage.
Okay. Dan, how many years would you say that you've played basketball?
Like five?
Five. How long has it been since you've played basketball, like organized basketball?
Like three.
Three? Really?
Four. High school.
I thought you were older than that.
No.
Okay, well, here's an important question. Are you single?
No.
No, ladies and gentlemen, he is not. He's engaged. Dan, thank you very much. If you can just stand right here, Dan. Callie, come here. Hi, Callie. How are you?
I'm good.
You're good? I can't hear you.
I said I'm good.
Okay, good. All right, she's good. Callie, can you tell everybody your full name, please? That way they know you.
My name is Callie Marie Thayer.
Okay. All right, Callie. How old are you?
15.
Now, Callie, if I'm not mistaken, you play basketball. You're on the Bloomington High School basketball team, right?
Yes.
Woo, go Raiders. I know, right? Boom, fist bump. Yeah, that's right. Good job. Congratulations on going to the best high school. I'm sorry. But, Callie, how many years would you say that you've been playing basketball?
Like nine.
Nine? Okay. Now, basketball tryouts were on Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Now, are you saying you shouldn't be dating? Never mind. I'm not even going to ask that. Okay. Mom and Dad, that was just for you. All right, so here's what I need really quick. So, Callie, you play basketball. You a baller. Danny, I need you to stick that ball all the way up in the air. Now, ladies and gentlemen. Callie, come here really quick. Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time to get your phones out. Okay, all right. Callie, go ahead and raise your hand up really quick. Okay. Oh, that's so cute. Callie, you got hops? No? Oh. Okay, well, Callie, here's what I need you to do. Without making any physical contact with Danny, so you can jump, you can swat, you can do whatever, but you can't hit his arm down, you can't pull it down, none of that cheap junior high stuff. You got to get that basketball, and you got 5 seconds. Ready? Here, step forward a little bit, Danny. That way we don't hurt the guitar. All right, here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. 1, Mississippi. 2, Mississippi. 3, Mississippi. 1 more, just for kicks and giggles. Come on, Callie. Come on, cheer on. Oh, okay. All right, so Callie, that didn't really work out all that well, did it? Okay, well, I'm going to do something here really quick, okay? I want you to watch me, okay? Danny, stick it up. That's about 9 feet, right? Yeah, about 9 feet. I'm not even going to hop. You know why? My grandpa always used to say, work smart, not hard, ladies and gentlemen. This right here is a ladder, and it's phenomenal. You see, there's one, and two, and three, and I got it. Okay, so now, Callie, here, I'm going to give this back to you. You got 5 seconds to do the exact same thing to get that basketball ready. One, Mississippi, two, Mississippi, three, Mississippi, four. Congratulations, ladies and gentlemen. She got the basketball. Thank you guys very much. You guys can take a seat. Can we give it up one more time for these guys? Dan, I should probably give you your basketball back, so here you go, sir. Thank you. All right. So as you can see, sometimes imitations can be a good thing. Following somebody's example, following footsteps of somebody before you or somebody that can do things that you can't is not always a bad thing. In fact, sometimes it can even help you succeed. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to take a look at the story of some dudes named Paul and Timothy. Everybody say Paul.
Paul.
Everybody say Timothy.
Timothy.
Just so you know, in youth, that's a way to make sure that they're all still awake. So, Paul and Timothy. So we're going to start with Paul. So Paul, he is a dude that he did not like Christians when he first, you know, came into adulthood. He did not like him. In fact, Paul was known for persecuting Christians. But then something happened. He had a radical interaction with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ changed his life radically. And so what happened from that is Paul was like, okay, my life is totally changed. I got to do something about it. And so he went on a journey to tell everybody else about Jesus. And so we catch Paul's story, and he's having an interaction with a young man named Timothy. And what we're going to do is this is Paul's second missionary journey. And we're going to be in the book of Acts chapter 16. And what we're going to do is we're going to look on at an opportunity or an interaction that Paul had with Timothy. And this is what it says in verses 1 through 3. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium. So Paul wanted him to join on their journey. So, right here, I'm going to stop. At this time, Paul sees something. He sees potential, and he stops in his track. Now, it's funny because as I was back there taking pictures, and man, I had a grin on my face ear to ear watching this worship team. Mark Plankenhorn comes back there, and he says, man, Kevin, you're working yourself out of a job here. Like, awesome. That's great. Love it. There's potential all around us. Now, Paul, he sees potential, and so he stops. And then it says this in verses 4 through 5. Then they went from town to town. So he got Timothy and said, hey, come and follow me. And he's like, okay, sure, why not? And then it says this. Then they went from town to town instructing the believers to follow the decisions made by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in their faith and grew larger every day. Right here you see in this moment that Paul and Timothy, they had some interactions, obviously. If they're going from place to place, and they're going from church to church, and they're speaking to them in this time, if Paul is like, hey, come follow me, they did life together. You can't argue with that. They had time together. Timothy got to do life with Paul. Paul had an interaction with Jesus Christ, and Timothy was like, yo, I think that's cool. I'm going to follow you. That's got to be great. And so what happens is Timothy, he starts doing life. He starts learning from Paul, just like I was up here on the ladder. Callie didn't see the ladder back there. In fact, she doubtably even knew that we had a ladder here. But when she saw it happen, she's like, okay, I can do this. All right, yeah, sure. Being 5'4" isn't that bad. And then what happens is their story continues. And so what's happening, we're going to take a look at later in their journey when they are at the church, where they are talking to the church in Corinth. Now, here's what's happening at the church in Corinth. These guys, they were known for being extremely intelligent, and Paul is writing them because there's some division among the church. There's stuff happening there. The Bible says that the church in Corinth, they had been blessed, that they had every spiritual gift that they needed to accomplish God's will. And then what happened was they were arguing, they were going back and forth. Some said that they were following Paul, and some said that they were following Peter, and some said they were following Apollos, and some said, I only follow Christ. These guys were very intelligent. The Bible tells us that they had very eloquent words. They had probably learned a lot, but there was arguments and pride all over the place. So Paul is writing to these guys, and he's saying, hey, we're going through some issues here, and I want to help you. Now, here's the flip side of that coin. I can't be there, but I want to give you guys a clear example for what it means to be a Christ follower. I want to give you guys an example to come together in unity to agree. Some say, I follow Paul. Well, guess what? You were not baptized in the name of Paul, so you cannot follow me. So the church probably at that point, if you're like me, you're probably like, oh, all right. Well, I guess I should probably listen here. And he said the same thing. You were not baptized in the name of Apollos or Peter, but you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so what happened is he's writing to them, and he says it in a slightly weird way, but he says, hey, you know what? We're going to come together. We're going to take care of business. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent to you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Okay, so time out here. Dude, you just said, Father, you ain't my dad. What's happening? Why are you calling me your dad? Or why are you calling yourself my dad? It's all just a whew. Totally not following at this point. So I took a minute back and I said, okay, what is he trying to say when he says, Father? There's no way that Paul was all of their dads. That didn't happen. But what he was saying is that you came to Christ because Jesus had an interaction in my life. And so now I am taking responsibility for you. Me, Paul, I am taking responsibility for you. I'm about to have a child here in January. I've already got a savings account for him. I've got a bedroom. Yeah, it still needs some work, but I'm taking care of business right now. I'm excited. I already got this kid a guitar. We're good. But here's the thing. Paul is saying, you could have tons and tons and tons of people that could speak to you. Obviously, people have, some of you are saying that you follow Apollos, so you're teaching in Apollos. Some say you follow Peter, so you're teaching in Peter. And some say you follow me, and you're teaching in my name. Hold on a minute, time out here. You all are being taught because of Jesus Christ, because Jesus came and died on the cross for each and every single one of you. And so what Paul is saying and what he means by Father is that Paul had a crazy and radical transformation because of Jesus Christ. Now, because of Jesus Christ in Paul's life, Paul went and he said, hey, this happened, and God can do anything, and God is the God who can move mountains and do amazing things in anybody's life, no matter where you're at. And they followed. So now Paul is taking responsibility for them. In fact, later you even see Paul says, my son, Timothy. We know that Timothy wasn't actually his son, but Paul took responsibility for Timothy. Paul took responsibility. And so when he says, therefore, I urge you to imitate me, I doubt he was saying, imitate me by telling everybody that you're their daddy. Somebody's going to get some complexes out of that. No, I urge you to imitate me because I imitate Christ. My life is transformed not because I won the lottery or not because I met some amazing people, but because I met one amazing person who transformed my life. He's saying, imitate me in my radical relationship with Jesus, because the way that Jesus and I interacted caused me to have life-changing decisions. And so he's saying, imitate me in the ways of those decisions. Now, later on, you see that he sent Timothy, because at this point, Paul couldn't be there. He could not be there, but he said, follow my example, imitate me, right? So what he did was he sent Timothy because Timothy imitated Paul. See, doing life with Paul, Timothy, he learned what Jesus did. He knew that Jesus had a radical transformation inside of Paul's life, and so Timothy's like, yeah, I want a piece of that pie. Yeah, I don't want any cake. I just want pie. He's like me, pie, all day. But what's happening now is Timothy, he's not afraid to follow Paul's example. We see in Scripture that Paul is being persecuted, Paul is being hunted down, and Timothy is saying, yeah, I want to imitate that. Man, if you're in this world, if somebody's shooting at me, I'm running. I'm not trying to imitate, but yet Timothy says, it is worth it for me to imitate, and I'm not going to be afraid, because here's what Timothy knew. Paul imitated Jesus, and Timothy imitated Paul, and Timothy knew that the church in Corinth had to imitate Timothy. The church in Corinth had to follow Timothy's example. You see, what Paul was talking about when he said, imitate me, I urge you to imitate me, he was talking about imitation without limitation. Imitation without limitation. Imitation of a relentless love. Imitation of a radical transformation in leadership. An imitation of discipleship. An imitation of Christ. Of Christ. Imitation without limitation. So if we take this idea about imitation, what does that mean for us today? What does that mean? Students, I'm going to talk to you guys here for a second. You guys probably have people in your life that you look up to and maybe you trust right now. I want you to take a look at them again. Take a look at everybody around you. See, Timothy, he had people in his life. He said, Timothy, in Scripture, his mom taught him the Scripture from a very young age. See, where Timothy was from, people knew Timothy and they trusted Timothy. They thought highly of him. So Timothy had people in his life that taught him. He followed Paul and he imitated him because he knew that Jesus had transformed Paul, and Timothy was safe in knowing that he was going to be okay. You see, he wasn't afraid to look up to somebody, and he wasn't afraid to take their advice. He wasn't afraid to listen to them. He wasn't afraid to sit back and imitate things like love, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and diligence. Now I'm going to talk to everybody here in the room. What does imitation look like for us? See, just like me, there's a chance that there's going to be somebody in your life that's going to look up to you. Parents, I'm talking specifically to you here. You have somebody that's looking up to you right now, following your example, seeing how you do what you do. They're looking to you to lead them, to be an example for them to follow. Maybe you guys, you don't have any kids or you're not at that stage in your life. There's still going to be somebody that is probably going to look to you to see what you're doing. There's going to be people unintentionally that you aren't even aware of that are going to look to you to see what you are doing. Here's the next thing. Maybe you need to be intentional about it. You guys have seen some of the potential that is here inside of Alive Student Ministries. Man, these students are awesome. Maybe intentionality is that, man, I gotta take one of these guys under my wings. Man, because there's potential. And you know what? God transformed my life, and I think that they are on the same page. Man, I think I have something that they can learn from. I got something that they can access by me. Another word for that maybe might be mentorship. Maybe taking somebody along the journey with you and teaching them what God has taught you. And here's the thing. This is my favorite part right here. I can't not say this. See, Timothy was sent to the church in Corinth to be an example of what to imitate. To be an example of what this church of very smart and intelligent people should follow and imitate. One thing that we can know and that we can be confident in is that Timothy was probably younger than these guys. Timothy was probably didn't have the same amount of experience that they maybe had in life. Timothy was still a young man at this point. But yet, Timothy was sent to be an example. See, God used Paul to transform Timothy's life so that Timothy could transform a church. God did amazing things through somebody else so that somebody else could transform somebody else. There's a whole lot of somebody else's in that sentence. I hope you followed that. But here's the thing. See, age doesn't matter when it comes to when Jesus can transform your life. Age doesn't matter when Jesus can use your life to help somebody else. You see, in this journey that some people are on that's called Christianity, in this journey of following Jesus Christ, see, somebody's always going to be behind you. Even if you're 12 years old, somebody's going to be behind you. And guess what? They may be 38 years old, and I am not 38, just to clarify. It doesn't matter, because Jesus can change somebody's life radically at any age and use anybody, any age, to change somebody else to know Jesus Christ. Age does not matter. It is not a limitation. See, Paul and Timothy, they knew this well. So I have two questions for everybody here this morning. Two questions, two simple questions. Who are you imitating in your life right now? Who are you following? Who are you looking to for an example? Who are you looking at that you can trust? That you know that God has transformed their lives? That you believe in everything that they stand for because they believe in something greater and something better other than themselves? Who are you following? Who are you imitating in your life? And here's the second question. What are you setting as an example for others to imitate? What are you setting as an example? What are you doing? What are you doing about it? You know, every time we talk about these students, every time we encourage these students, you know what? I hope one of these students works me out of my job. Because these students, they have potential. But here's the thing. If I did anything in life, and this is more true now that I know that I'm going to be a dad, but if I did anything in my life, it is to teach somebody else that God can transform your life and change all of the hurts and habits and struggles and persecutions from everybody else. God can take that. God can handle that. God doesn't want you to have a heavy yoke to burden. He's saying, here, let me take all that off your hands. And here's the thing. If I imitate anything, I'm imitating the people in my life that God changed their lives. So when Paul is saying, imitate me, he's not saying, imitate me. He's saying, imitate Christ. Imitate what Christ has done in my life. There's always going to be somebody behind you. There's always going to be somebody that doesn't necessarily know what to do in this journey that we call following Jesus. As you guys move through your journey, as you guys are moving through life and experiencing new things, as students are growing older, as families are changing, and even as our community and our church is changing, man, God's doing something here inside of Compass Church. We can only do what we do in Alive because of Compass. But I urge you to think about these questions. I urge you to think about who you are imitating and what you are setting as an example. And maybe as you think about these questions, maybe for you it's, hey, you know what? I need to be a mentor. You know what? Maybe I should be involved in kids. Maybe I should be involved in youth. They seem cool. Maybe it means that you need to get plugged into a small group, because we were never meant to do life alone. We were never meant to do this alone, which is why it's so easy to say from a platform, imitation without limitation can change your life and somebody else's life around you. Imitation without limitation. Imitation of what Jesus wants to do and can do. Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives. God, we thank you for what you are doing inside of these students' lives. And Lord, we ask that as the world tells us all around that, you know, we need to make sure that we are our own individual person. God, we ask that as we become our own individual person, that we are founded in the name of Jesus Christ, that we are founded on a foundation that comes to you first before anything else. God, we ask that as we move forward, as we go into this next journey inside of our schools and our communities and our households, God, that you are with us, that you are leading us, and you are giving us a clear example that we can imitate and imitate with the best faith that we possibly can. God, we love you and we praise you. And in Jesus' name, everybody said,
thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.